Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. Today's podcast is a repeat of a previously recorded interview session. I'm happy to welcome Ms. Michelle Hill to our show today. Michelle, I'm glad that you're with us on the program.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thrilled.
I want everyone to know that I met you at a writer's workshop that was held recently in Raleigh. And at that time, you were telling me about your business. So tell our listening audience what you do as a profession.
Well, absolutely. I am a ghostwriter and book collaborator for pro athletes, which means I help them tell their stories. And they have a lot of stories to tell. So I am, I just help them develop their whatever story they want to tell. Sometimes it's stories about their life, about what they've learned in their life. Sometimes it's stories about their pro athlete life and lessons that maybe rookies coming up can learn from their experience. And I'm also currently developing into a professional speaker. So, you know, maybe, just maybe, my own story of defying the odds of a challenging childhood and a very negative, toxic mother can inspire someone to press forward.
Okay. Well, one thing that we have in common is that we're both authors. Tell us about yourself as an author and how you became a professional writer.
Well, absolutely. Well, I can be honest with you and say I don't get as much writing done for myself as I'd like to because I'm busy helping my clients write their books. But I have co-authored a book with former NFL player Brandon Williams, and it's called From Athlete to Author. And it lays out the process of to start and finish a book. It's not published yet, but it's getting closer to the finish line. So I've also helped my clients write books to help NBA rookies coming into the league. And I actually helped Donald with all of his writing projects. I've helped him with a poetry book that he put out. I didn't help him write the poems, but I helped him put the project together. And I'm currently helping NBPA career counselor Dr. Lloyd Walton with his memoir, and that's due to be published later this year.
Okay, that's great. That's what I was going to ask you about, the nature of some of the material that you've written. I know that you've worked here in Raleigh, North Carolina for the last several years, but I understand that you'll be leaving very soon. You'll be relocating, and I know a lot of people will be sorry to see you leave. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yes, I am. I have had mixed feelings along the way this time, but I was actually born in Inglewood, California, and lived most of my life in Southern California. And then I've been in the Raleigh area for about the past 7 years, and I will be relocating to the Dallas Metroplex area of Texas. And I'm excited. I'm anticipating a lot more open doors business-wise because that is a pro sports mecca over there. And I have what I call DNA family as opposed to my church family. I have DNA family in Fort Worth, and I will be 1,100 miles closer to my daughter and son and grandkids. So I think it's a really positive move for me. And but it's been a move wrought in, you know, some spiritual warfare, but I guess we'll get to that a little bit later.
Well, we sure will, and we wish you well on your move, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
So with that, we're going to take a short break now, and we'll be back to talk more with Michelle. Stay with us. Welcome back. Michelle, I know you've mentioned to me that your faith is very important to you. Tell us, how did you come to know the Lord? And a related question is, what is your definition of quote-unquote knowing the Lord? And I ask this question because you hear the phrase mentioned a lot, especially among believers in certain segments of our faith. How would you respond to that?
Well, that is an excellent question, and I can answer by saying when I was 18 years old and living in Southern California, I was, as they say, looking for love in all the wrong places. So I believe there might be a song about that. My first job was at Disneyland, and I was 17 years old, had just graduated from high school, and I would pretend to get sick to get off of work. So then I would go to the Crystal Cathedral, which was right down the street at the time, and Robert Schuller was the pastor. I never went to a service, but I went to the top tower, which was a little small chapel, and no one was ever there. So I go up to this chapel and sit and look through the hymn books and just beg God to save me, because I thought back then you had to just beg. So I would just go up there. I think I was just searching for something. I felt lost. And so one day I was doing the same thing, and it just like a light came down and just shined on me. And I felt this incredible sense of peace sweep over me, like the whole place just illuminated. And from that moment on, I knew how it had been transformed. So I remember getting back on the elevator that day to go back down to the street level, and I could not wipe the smile off of my face. And I knew my grandpa had been praying for me, and I know it's because of his prayers that God met me that day, and I came to know the Lord, and my life has never been the same. And to answer your question, what does that mean? It just means transforming from a fleshly life into a spiritual life. And it's just a total transformation, and you know when it happens to you. You don't have to beg for it. All you have to do is ask for it, and it's free.
Okay. Well, you've talked to me also about the importance of a trust in God. What does it mean to you to place your trust in a divine power? Has it changed your life? And I assume that it has.
Oh, it changes everything. So your question reminds me of a song that we used to sing in the old Calvary Chapel days in Costa Mesa with Pastor Chuck Smith. And the words were, "Let's forget about ourselves, magnify the Lord and worship him." And to me, that is putting your trust in God. So that it just means to place my trust in a divine power. And that divine power is God. And it's giving up the need to control everything and just resting in the fact that God is the master planner. And he does just fine by himself, orchestrating the events and people in my life. So it has changed my life permanently, because it's not I who live, but Christ in me who lives.
But you know, Michelle, we live in a secular society, and spiritual kinds of discussions are not extremely popular, because most of what we are familiar with are materialistic, physical existence of just that, things. And I've observed sometimes that it appears that religion or spirituality is placed in a box. In other words, what I mean by that is that sometimes it seems like we're more spiritual, for instance, say on Sunday in church, or whenever you do observe the Sabbath. For example, when you go to a football game, and I'm talking believers or Christians, the demeanor seems to be a lot different than, say, for example, when you're in church. And I realize that you should be, and most people are, very respectful. But my question is that, in your opinion, what do you think about this particular observation, and how does it relate to you, and how this divine power has affected you and helped you in your business life as you work each day of the week, not just recognizing this power on Sunday, for example?
Yes, well, I think it comes down to authenticity. And as we've all heard, character is who you are when nobody's looking. And so people are looking on Sunday at you. You might put on a spiritual air to make people think you're different than you are. But if you're not authentic, living that life out throughout the rest of the week, then that doesn't mean anything. It means you're inauthentic. You're unauthentic. You're not being who you're presenting yourself to be on a certain day. You should be that person all day long, or all day, every day. So it's a matter of authenticity, really. And for me, and benefiting my business, I think I trust God as my husband and maker, that he will bring the clients that are best for my business. And as we know, not every potential client is going to be the best for my business. You know, some just don't belong there. They're flaky. They need to just move on. So I trust God that he will bring me the clients that are best for my business. I have a paper, in fact, taped to my computer monitor that asks the question, and I see it every day, how can I bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ today? And if you look at that every single day, that's how we need to run our lives. That's how we need to run our businesses. And it doesn't mean we sit on the couch and just ask the question, because that doesn't do any good. And we have to rise and grind. We have to build, work. We have to build and maintain our businesses. But the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. So God must be the foundation, and he must permeate every aspect of our business, of our lives. And when I'm wondering where my next client is coming from, I have my Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and he comes through every single time. So I just trust in him and being authentic, being who you are all the time. That's the bottom line.
Well, yeah, being authentic is very important. But in this secular society, sometimes that's not very easy to do, because we're bombarded with bad news and all the things that I'm sure you're aware of, that all the things that are going on in the world today. And a lot of things are not good things to witness, especially if you look at the news. And so I guess keeping your spiritual hat on is not very easy in a lot of cases, but that's what we're called to do in this secular society.
Yes, it's not easy, but it's doable, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So it's not in us. It's not our effort that does it anyway. It's him working through us that makes it happen.
I know you come into contact, Michelle, with a lot of professional athletes. My question to you is this. To what extent have you been able or even have had a desire to share your faith with your clients? Or do you try to keep spiritual discussions separate from your business endeavors?
Okay, excellent question. I usually wait for them to bring up their faith, if they have a faith, in an initial conversation. But once they do, I'm all in. And what usually results is a real positive fellowship and an instant camaraderie and just a real good foundation. If I can tell by their language, and maybe they have colorful language or not so sanctified language, as I like to call it, then I know that I'm not going to preach to them. That's not my role as a ghostwriter and book collaborator. But, as I listen to them, I can usually tell where they are spiritually and how much of my own faith I can weave into the conversations. And what I do typically, even after I have maybe a non-Christian, a non-spiritual person as a client, I talk to people just like they were anyway. So I will mention God in it, but I don't preach. I don't, just bang them over the head on the phone and tell them they have to be saved. I just weave my own faith into it when appropriate. So that's the take. That's the approach that I take.
Okay. Tell us about the books you've written, again, specifically.
Okay. Well, I have several, and of course, with my impending move, all of my books are packed in a stack of six or seven boxes behind me now. But a few of the ones that stand out are The Athlete CEO by Donald Foyle, and that shows rookies in the NBA how to conduct themselves as the CEO of their sports career. I helped Rashad McCants with Plantation Education, and that reveals how the NCAA and universities are profiting from student-athletes and how everyone profits except the student-athletes. And I've also helped Randy Brown. Now, Randy wrote most of his book while he was in federal prison, but I helped him move it forward to publication. So his book is called Rebound Forward, and it tells the story of Randy's two daughters who both died of the same disease at 4 years old within 2 years of each other. He went on to soothe himself with porn, got addicted to it, and as a result spent 2 years in federal prison. His wife of 30-plus years left him, and Randy knows a little bit about rebounding forward after life's losses. And we were doing an interview one time as part of making his book go forward, and he was telling the story of his daughters, and it was, I mean, I was, you know, teary-eyed. He was definitely teary-eyed, and it was a really deep moment. So he is still healing from all of that. So his book is very raw and just really an in-depth look into a man's ruin and coming back. And he is doing wonderful now. So that's a really special book. I also have Lead with Love by Spencer Conley, a former NFL player. It shows leaders of all types how to lead with your heart and not your head. And my only non-sports client book is by James DeMeo, and it's called What's Your Plan? And it details different public venues and tells how to protect yourself and your family by having a plan before disaster strikes.
And I know, Michelle, you gave a book to me the other day when we met, and I forget the title of it. Do you remember the title of that particular book? It was a small book that you gave to me the
yes.
other day.
Now, that's my own book. It was, I figured if I'm going to help people write their books, I need to have my own book. So it was a first, like, let's get this book out. And it was called, it's called Bathroom Prayers, Inspiring Thoughts While You're on the Pot.
Yeah, that's a very interesting title.
yes. And I just, it was just, it's a compilation of just little personal stories. It's meant to inspire. It's meant to motivate. And I have some practical action tips in there, how to overcome adversity, things like that. So that's my first little book. I keep one on the back of my toilet tank, honestly. And I read it, you know, I read it, and I've given away a lot of copies. And I just hope it just gives somebody a little bit of hope and a few laughs.
Well, you gave it to me, and I will read it ultimately, but right now my wife has it, so she'll probably read it and tell me about it before I get to it.
Well, let me know.
I will do that. Now, you'll be going to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and so you will have a wealth of professional athletes in that particular area to work with. I don't know what your plans are with respect to particular persons, as opposed to here in the Triangle area where it's basically college athletics that dominates the sports scene in this area. But so, do you have any plans as far as working with particular individuals in that particular area, the Dallas-Fort Worth?
Well,
area?
Yes, I am a longtime fan of the team everybody loves to hate, which is the Dallas Cowboys, and I just I have some inroads into the Cowboys organization, so I'm hoping to gain some clients. I'm associated acquaintance with Preston Pearson, who was a former Cowboys running back, and we've talked about doing a book for him, so we've, you know, developed a nice friendship acquaintance, so I think that I can, you know, help him move forward with his book, and maybe he can introduce me to some of the his former Cowboys friends, like Too Tall Jones and some of the classic guys from way back that didn't make the salary that these young players make today. I mean, there's a Dallas Mavericks, there's a Dallas Stars, it's a pro sports mecca.
Right.
So it will take me not very long to get in there and do my networking, and I'm excited for the open doors that I know will be there.
Right. Well, speaking of Preston Pearson, he actually was a wide receiver, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, he was a wide receiver.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for correcting me, yes.
Yeah. Well, back in the 70s, I remember many of the Dallas Cowboys, as well as some of the other sports teams. We'll be right back with more with Michelle in just a minute. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking with Michelle Hill, who is an author. Michelle, give us an idea of some of the well-known clients that you work with. And I think you've already mentioned some, so you don't have to delve too much into that. I guess this is kind of a repetitive question. But
besides the ones that I've already worked with, I am helping Dr. Lloyd Walton. He's a career counselor with the NBPA. I'm helping him with his memoir that's going to be coming out in the next several months. And then I'm also helping Dr. Lem Burnham, who was a former Eagles player and longtime member of the NFL Alumni Board of Directors. I'm helping him with his book as well. And then I have a new client, Leanne Shelton, who lost her arm in a lawnmower accident when she was 4, and she went on to play softball and was inducted into the Dixie Softball Hall of Fame. So I have some exciting projects that I'm currently working on.
All right. And so very shortly, because we're running out of time, what lessons can we all learn from some of the things that you write about?
Oh, well, the main thing I would think is perseverance, tenacity, and doing the right thing when it counts the most.
Okay. Well, Michelle Hill, I'd like to thank you for being on the show today. Do you have any closing comments that you'd like to make?
Well, the only closing comment I would like to make is, if anyone is listening to this and is struggling in their business, remember that the victory goes to those who don't quit. So I just urge you to keep pressing on, persevere. Do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do, and just keep doing that. When I was having a rough year, I drove with Uber. I cleaned a very large house after some really messy Airbnb guests, and it was awful, and I knew it wasn't my calling in life, but I did it because I knew what my mission was. So you have to do some things that aren't pretty in the meantime, so keep on.
Okay. And lastly, would you like to give your contact information for anyone who would like to speak to you further about anything professionally or personally for that matter?
Yes. Well, my website is winningproof.com, WinningProof.com. And my email is winningproof@gmail.com. And they can also, I'm on LinkedIn, and I have a business and a personal page on Facebook. And I use Instagram on more of a personal level, but anyone is welcome to connect with me there as well.
Well, thank you again, Michelle, for being with us. And I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in also. That's our podcast for today. Remember, whatever you're going through, keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.